Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Lenora.
What a wonderful way to get us started this morning. Well, welcome, folks, to the Lord's house this morning, and happy Easter. What a journey it's been to get to Easter this year. If you remember, only 2 years ago, we couldn't even gather here in person on Easter Sunday, and we remained in a mostly shut-down world and listened to Pastor Dennis's sermon online. And then last year, while we were able to gather in person, we still had limitations. We couldn't participate in the Lord's Supper, and we couldn't enjoy the flowering of the cross, both of which we will do today. How nice it is to once again have an Easter breakfast here at Berry. We want to thank our youth and children's director, Kathy Connell, for coordinating the sunrise breakfast this morning, and also the youth who came to help, and several members of the Koinonia Sunday School class, as well as the Men of Faith Fellowship Group, for their assistance in the kitchen and help with cleanup tasks this morning. Please note that our order of service will change a little bit to allow time to have our children and helpers flower the cross this morning. This will happen during the time that we would normally greet and welcome those sitting around us, and also during the children's moment. But despite the changes to our normal flow, I think it'll certainly be wonderful to resume our treasured traditions here at Berry Christian Church. Please do take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row and pass it on to your neighbor. And take a look at the bulletin for additional announcements. And please note there will be a general board meeting here next Sunday at noon. And there is also a choir rehearsal, and the CWF and several other committees will be meeting in the upcoming weeks. All right, now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning and happy Easter, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Eternal God, we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the privilege to worship and fellowship in person. We give you thanks for the country we live in that allows us the freedom of worship. We give you thanks for our basic necessities of shelter, food, and clothing. We give you thanks for the safety of our land despite wars in other parts of the world. We give you thanks. And for the fellowship of our like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ who worship with us in your house this morning, we give you thanks. Lord God, on this Easter morning, we seek the presence of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we begin our worship service together. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's been a few years since we've enjoyed our tradition of flowering of the cross. The flowering of the cross is a special way for us to celebrate the transformation of Christ's cross from a symbol of destruction and death into a symbol of everlasting life. We're grateful for your financial contributions that make the flowering of the cross possible. The bulletin insert this morning indicates the persons memorialized or honored by your donations. At this time, I invite the kiddos to come up along with our adult helpers and, frankly, anybody who would like to come up and help decorate the cross. Folks, if you would please follow along in your bulletin for a list of hymns and page numbers that Ryan and Lenora will lead us in singing.
Christ the Lord is risen today. from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, celebrate this day of days. Christ is risen, hush in wonder, all creation is amazed. In the desert, all surrounding, see us spreading tree as grown. Abounding, bring a taste of love unknown. Christ is risen, raise your spirit from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning, see what love can do and dare. Drink the resurrection, not a servant, but a friend. Jesus is our strong companion, joy and peace shall never end. Christ is risen, earth and heaven nevermore shall be the same. Break the bread of new creation, where the world is still in pain. Tell its grim, demonic chorus, Christ is risen, get you gone. God the first and last is with us, sing Hosanna.
Grace and power
are in his hand.
I know
that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand.
God. And so what do you all think, folks? What about the flowering of the cross? Praise God. We transform a symbol of death into a living symbol of life and hope as we recognize that in Christ's resurrection, we too are privileged to one day rise from our own deaths and share in the glory of God's great kingdom. It is a joy to see each of you here in our second of three services this Sunday morning. Thank you for being in the Lord's house, a number of people for us to keep in prayer and to celebrate what is happening for their lives. And Joe and Kathy, what a joy it is to see you guys. And glad you all are here, and Abby as well. Bless you guys. Glad you all are here. You all get the prize for coming the longest distance to be here at the 8:30 service. Because those of you that don't know Joe and Kathy and their family, of course, they now live up in Minnesota. We're so delighted that you all are present today. Bless you guys. We want to keep John Adams in our prayers. John was to have had that vertebrae surgery this past week. That did not happen. He ended up having some other health concerns. And he is still over at the KU Medical Center dealing with those other variables, and there was some discussion about possibly coming home this afternoon, and surgery will be rescheduled at a later date. So keep John and Mary Jane Adams in your prayers. Dolly Llewellyn and Doris O'Neill continue to be in our prayers, but we are grateful that Dolly is out of the hospital, and Dolly and Doris are helping each other out as they're living together at Doris's house at the present time. Larry pitches in our prayers with that cancerous growth in his neck. That's why he's not able to be present here in the 8:30 service as he normally is, looking to have surgery in the near future. Joyce Osborne was in the hospital this past week, but has been able to go home as a pacemaker, address the issue that she was having, and has made good progress through all of that. We're so grateful for that. Please keep Jean Booth in your prayers. She is at the McCrite Rehabilitation Center, where she is recovering after undergoing some significant health concerns, and hopes to be able to return to her own place here in the near future. Jean Kimmerling also continues to be at McCrite. In our prayers, we're also remembering Lon Anderson and Betty and Jerry Donahue, Rihanna Ralston, Carolyn Johnson. We lift up Jill Gregory, Madeline Pulliam, and Debbie Buzinski. All these people have been upon our hearts. And Joe and Kathy, you all have been in our prayers too. We are just so delighted that all is going much better for for you and Abby and Allie as well. Bless you guys. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy and gracious God, with joyful hearts, we are privileged to worship you on this Resurrection Sunday. We rejoice because we know that in obedience to your plan, Christ became the final sacrifice so that we may be afforded eternal salvation. As Hebrews 10 verse 12 affirms, Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever, and then sat down at the right side of God. It is for Christ's victory that we offer thanksgiving. For as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, thanks be to God. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. As episodes of violence, destruction, and injustice prevail, not only in our own community, but indeed across the world stage, we may wonder what victory may one day come that can offer peace and harmony in our time or in any other. Yet with your Spirit's guidance, O God, may we not be overcome with the despair that Satan wishes to instill within our hearts as he exacts his evil ways through the thoughts, motivations, and actions of those swayed by his influence. For as the Scriptures remind us in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And may we remember your plan for humanity's salvation, as Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 tells us, that Christ was the one who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Thus, it is with hopefulness and determined commitment to the causes of Christ that we joyfully proclaim Christ's victory this Resurrection Sunday. For as Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 tells us, to those who win the victory, I will give the right to sit beside me on my throne, just as I have been victorious and now sit by my Father on his throne. In thanksgiving and praise, we offer this prayer in hope, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The disciples certainly felt a great measure of uncertainty about their future as Jesus concluded the Last Supper with them and the cross loomed before Jesus. Given the challenging circumstances that many in our world face, surely uncertainty about one's future looms overhead like a darkening cloud for many in the world today as well. Yet we know Jesus gave his disciples genuine assurance on that fateful night of the Last Supper that still offers genuine hope for us this Easter Sunday morning. And so as we gather at the Lord's table, let us rejoice in the truth that the greatest assurance Christ offered his disciples that is still so very relevant to us today is centered in Jesus' declaration in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus said, "Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself so that you may be where I am." This we celebrate as we turn to our communion hymn, number 386, and sing stanzas 1 and 3, "We Come as Guest Invited." Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe. You have kept your promises. In your Son, we see you and your love, living and real for us. He showed us how to follow you, eating with sinners, touching the outcast, loving all. After his resurrection, he told us to wait for your calling and your power. He promised us that you would go with us as we proclaim the good news that you have triumphed over death, that love has the last word. As we come to this meal, may we be made one with each other and with you. We pray in the name of our risen Lord and Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we welcome you to share in the elements of the Lord's table this morning. this Easter Sunday morning and next Sunday, may we give generously to our Easter offering. One thing about those little pieces of bread, they're murder. I have to get a drink. We give generously to our Easter offering through the envelope provided in this Sunday's bulletin. For as the flyer indicates, several significant ministries sponsored through the general ministries of the Christian Church depend on your generous giving. We receive our tithes and offerings this morning as Ron leads us in a word of prayer. Ron?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to once again gather around this your table. We thank you for this special day to celebrate the empty tomb and the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing on these gifts, tithes, and offerings. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is a rather lengthy one, but it is because I need for you to know the full story as to what is going on here. So we look, first of all, at this text from the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, starting with that 62nd verse. The next day, which was the Sabbath, the chief priests and the Pharisees met with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that while that liar was still alive, he said, 'I will raise to life 3 days later.' Give orders then for his tomb to be carefully guarded until the third day, so that his disciples will not be able to go and steal the body and then tell people that he was raised from death." This last lie would be even worse than the first one. "Take a guard," Pilate told them. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you can." And so they left and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and leaving the guard on watch. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men. The angel spoke to the woman, "You must not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was lying. And go quickly now and tell his disciples he has been raised from death and he is going to Galilee ahead of you, and there you will see him. Remember what I have told you." And so they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. "Do not be afraid," Jesus said to them. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While the women went on their way, some of the soldiers guarding the tomb went back to the city and told the chief priest everything that had happened. The chief priest met with the elders and made their plan. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say that his disciples came during the night and stole his body while you were asleep. And if the governor should hear of this, we will convince him that you are innocent and you'll have nothing to worry about." The guards took the money and did what they were told to do, and so that is why the word or the report spread around to the Jews to this very day. And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "But the truth is that Christ has been raised from death as the guarantee that those who sleep in death will also be raised. For just as death came by the means of a man, in the same way the rising from death comes by the means of a man. For just as all people die because of their union with Adam, in the same way all will be raised to life because of their union with Christ." May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to gather here in your house this Easter Sunday morning to celebrate Christ's resurrection, to celebrate the truth of his resurrection, and embrace the truth that we too have the hope of one day abiding in your great glory. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. So often Easter Sunday messages focus solely on the celebration of Christ's resurrection. But this Easter Sunday, I would like for you to get a closer understanding of what is going on in the backdrop, in the shadows of the resurrection narrative, even as the dawn of that very first Easter Sunday morning was bringing forth not only the brilliance of a new day, but the magnificent hope of new life through Christ's resurrection. Our lengthy text this morning from Matthew's Gospel is intentional because it helps us get the full story, the full sweep of what was going on, not only in the forefront, but what was going on in the backdrop as well. For Matthew's Gospel was written to convince Jewish people that Jesus was truly the legitimate Messiah whom they, through the centuries, had hoped for. But the narrative going on behind Christ's resurrection story is one striving to discount, to discredit Christ, to make Jesus appear to be a phony in whom no rational person should believe in. Backing up to the Saturday after Christ's crucifixion and burial, the day is the Sabbath day for Jewish people. It was the day of worship, a pause from work. As I've shared with you on previous occasions, the restrictions against even the most minor of tasks was extensive and extreme. Yet as Matthew's Gospel tells us, though, at least some of the chief priests and Pharisees of the Sanhedrin were working. as they deliberately met with Pilate to solicit his support for a scheme against Jesus and his followers. Jesus is dead and buried in a tomb as sunset approaches on Good Friday. This was done in haste, for it was so essential that Jesus' body be in the tomb before sunset. The Sabbath day, then as now, actually officially begins at the dusk of the Friday before the Sabbath Saturday. So it is quite likely that the Sabbath that the Jewish officials, in which the Jewish officials met with Pilate, was not like Saturday morning. It was quite likely the early evening hours of the very Friday that Jesus died on the cross, because again, at sunset, that was the start of Sabbath. The text tells us that on the Sabbath, they went to work out their scheme. The urgency of their concern would not have allowed them to while away those crucial hours of Friday night and Saturday morning. The Jewish officials had no doubt heard about Jesus' claim that he would arise from the dead on the third day, so they proposed an official task. Would Pilate use his authority to post a guard at the temple and have it sealed, lest Jesus' disciples come in the darkness of the night, be it that Friday night, or be it even the Saturday night? And of course, then, to steal away their rabbi's mutilated and dead body. Sealing the tomb of a common person's death was an extraordinary request, for this endeavor was reserved only for persons of elite status, lest a deceased person's body of a significant person be desecrated by their enemies. Sealing the tomb involved a moldable substance, such as a mass of soft clay. The soft clay and a rope crossed the tomb's wall as it made contact with the sealing stone. Sometimes those were rolling stones. Sometimes they were essentially like a carved stone that was more like putting a cork in a bottle. But wherever those stones made contact to the wall surface of the entry point was the point of sealing. This soft substance, again, typically a soft clay, was then imprinted with the Roman imperial seal. Breaking the seal would incur the empire's wrath. And of course, getting past a complement of armed guards would be difficult enough. The closest resemblance that we could have of this type of sealing in our memory would be the melted wax seal imprinted with the emblem of an authority's ring. As the melted wax was poured on enclosed important folded documents or rolled scrolls. But the Jewish officials so very much feared the threat of Jesus' rising and the potential dissolution of their own credibility among the Jewish populace, that they employed great effort to be assured that no resurrection story about Jesus would ever be credible. Despite their best efforts, however, we know that Christ's resurrection came nonetheless, and in dramatic form, as it is recorded in Matthew's Gospel. Complete with a violent earthquake, an angel of the Lord from heaven had an appearance as brilliant as lightning. He was clothed in brilliant white. With such ease, the angel single-handedly rolled away the mass of stone that would have required the strength of many men to move. And then, as if the angel was saying, "So there," what did he do? He sat on top of it. the guards from Pilate's court were so terrified by all that they had seen that the text tells us that they trembled and became as dead men. And then, as had been the commentary of the heavenly host towards God's people, the angel said to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, "You must not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He's not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was lying. And now go quickly," the angel said. "Tell his disciples that Jesus has been raised from death and he's going to Galilee." The whole notion of Galilee is that it was a safe place, away from Judah, away from Jerusalem, a safe place where they could all congregate once again. Now, we also have texts, though, where it seems that Jesus still meets them in Jerusalem. What I would propose is they went to Galilee, but then came back as the Passover context began to take place. The Pentecost event was about to take place 50 days later. So you see, there was some movement back and forth here, I believe. And of course, likely even some appearances even before they made that trip to Galilee. And somehow it seems that the women were also blessed with that personal visit from Jesus with that same message to not be afraid and to hurry on and to see the disciples. But the soldiers, what could they do except to report the truth of their experiences to the high priest and the Pharisees? But rather than to believe any part of the miraculous encounter that the soldiers had experienced, the soldiers were bribed, the text tells us, with a large sum of money. And we know that money talks. And the lie about the disciples stealing the body of Jesus was spread among everyone who was willing to listen to the lie rather than to listen to the amazing truth of Christ's resurrection. But for our purposes today, we must ask, how did Jesus combat the lie that was being spread to discredit the truth of his resurrection? Acts chapter 1, verse 3 tells us, "For 40 days after his death, Jesus appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God." Our Lord Jesus reinforced time and again the truth of his resurrection by appearing and dwelling among his followers in and out of the course of these 40 days. Doubting Thomas was able to see Jesus' wounds and know that they were not affecting Jesus' resurrected ability to reside in their presence in a healthy and vibrant way. Simon Peter was able to declare, "Yes, Lord, I know that I love you." Jesus was recognizable to all whom he met. He partook of food, yet he was able to pass through solid doors. He spoke, he taught, he reinforced the truth that he had fulfilled God's plan of salvation for humanity for all time to come. And many who once doubted, like Jesus' own brother James, experienced Jesus in that present moment. James was convinced, and he believed, even to the point where he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And the apostles became so convinced that they were devoted for the duration of their lives to the evangelizing of the gospel message, to the point that many of them were martyred for their genuine belief that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the challenge still exists for believers today. There are still those who are not convinced. Those who believe that Christianity is merely one more man-made mythological religion. And like our Lord Jesus, it is our task in our present moment to be present among others, to live out the testimony of Christ's great love, his compassion, his genuine desire to relate to people. The living presence of Christ today is you and me, and we have the task of presenting and celebrating the truth. Christ arose. Therefore, the sign outside this morning, it simply says, truth is, Christ arose. It is from that text of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But what we repeat on Easter Sunday morning is a greeting well worth remembering as you go through Easter. For it is often in the repetition that others may believe. As we greet one another on Easter, may we first of all say, he is risen, and the person you are speaking to responds by saying, what? He is risen indeed. And so I say to you, he is risen.
He is risen.
Praise God. Praise God. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship as we turn to that hymn of invitation. He lives. We'll sing all stanzas. Hymn number 226, please.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever others say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. It's a joy to see each of you. We wish you the very best as you journey through the Easter weekend. I do want to lift up that there's still some breakfast downstairs if any of you would want to have a time of fellowship and enjoy what is remaining of what we had from the earlier breakfast at 7 o'clock. And if a couple of men could please assist me, we need to kind of move the crosses around so we can bring the other cross in for the second service, and I can sure use some help having that accomplished. May we pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Guide us as we step forward into this new week. And indeed, may it be occasion for us to be that living testimony of Christ's living presence, that others may believe the truth. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In his name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Truth of life, be with us now, we pray. Direct our steps as we go forth to do your will this day. O faith.